From St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Houston, Texas, a joyful Christian community, this is Soulful Sundays, a weekly podcast of our 5 o'clock service. I'm Patrick Miller, the rector of St. Mark's. Welcome.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." And they said to him, "We'll go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" And they answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. I speak in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I had a really frantic morning a couple of weeks ago. I was running around the house, and I was trying to find my shoes, and I could find my right shoe, but I couldn't find my left shoe, and then was running around trying to find my office keys, and I found my key card, but not my keys. And then right before I ran out the door, I was looking for my glasses. I was like, I can't go anywhere without my glasses. And it took 20 minutes everywhere. I opened all the drawers in the bathroom, and I opened all my dresser drawers, and I lifted up all the mail we haven't really gone through on our dining room table, and I couldn't find them. And I was like, okay, what did I do yesterday? When did I take them off? And finally, my husband Austin came over, and he was like, Sam, they're on your face. I had been wearing them the whole time. You'd think, because I could see, that I would know that I had my glasses on, but I couldn't find them. A couple of days later, I had a moment with my fork at the dinner table. I was sitting there eating, and all of a sudden, I was looking around like, where's my fork? How did I lose a fork? Like, nothing dropped on the floor. You know, it's not under my placemat. It's not under my napkin. It was in my hand the whole time. Has anyone done that? You know, like, you're looking for your cell phone as you're texting someone. You're like, I can't find my cell phone. It's, like, right here in your hands. The story we heard tonight about Saul, it gets cut short, right? Because this is one of the cool stories of Christianity. Saul, the great persecutor of Christians, on the road to Damascus, comes face to face with the risen Jesus. And he says, who are you, Lord? As in, like, who are you, man? Or Mr. or Sir, not like Lord and Savior. Who are you? Well, I'm Jesus. I'm the man you've been going after people for. Let me show you what that's about. And just the next sentence after the one we finished today is that all of a sudden he goes blind. For 3 days, Saul finds his way around Damascus blind. And he's sitting and praying, and Jesus sends someone else to him and says, receive your sight and be healed. And it says, the scripture says, this is really beautiful, it was like scales falling away from his eyes. And he was baptized that day and became great evangelist, the founder of the church in Corinth, in Antioch, and in dozens of other places. He was so important that we keep his letters as holy canon, as scripture, right? To the Galatians and to the Philippians and to all the churches of the ancient Near East. He could see. Not what was right in front of him, though. Right? Not when he came face to face with the risen Lord. Who are you, sir? And I think the same is true for the disciples, right? We read on Easter morning that Mary goes to the tomb and it's empty. And Jesus approaches her and she assumes he's the gardener. I mean, think about that, right? This is a man they've spent every day with for the last 3 years at least. Sitting at his feet, watching him heal the sick. And she thinks he's the gardener? She doesn't know him until he calls her name, Mary. Or the next reading that we get, which was last Sunday, when Jesus appears to the disciples behind a locked door. They're locked away in fear. They don't know yet that the Lord has risen. It's still the night of Easter, and they're all scared. What are they going to do to us? Jesus comes, and he breathes on them, and he says, peace be with you. And then they recognize him. And then tonight's story with Peter and the other disciples who presumably were in the room, who have seen the risen Lord once, who still don't recognize him on the shore. until Peter hears the beloved disciple say, "It is the Lord." He doesn't even recognize him. He has to hear it from someone else. And then he puts on all his clothes and jumps in the water, which is like a whole nother sermon on its own. Who gets dressed to go swimming? There's something about the simplicity of those in front of us that is so profound. We miss all the time. And I think maybe in our faith, it's because we're looking for the big, grand gesture of God. The miracle, the booming voice, the clear neon sign. And yet he comes to us in the quiet, face to face, across a campfire, across a breakfast table, in a locked room, in our worst moments, in the voice of a friend. We miss what's right in front of us. We can't see the glasses on our face or the fork in our hand because we're so busy looking for it everywhere else. The joy of the season of Easter is that we get to celebrate all the small ways that Christ shows up in our lives. Day in, day out. In the mundane, in the normal, in the ordinary. Because that kind of living, that day-to-day loving and living and community building, that's what resurrection is for. It's for us to live. Heaven will come on its own. The resurrection is not so we can get to heaven. The resurrection is so we can live now, again and again and again, day after day after day. We can rise and we can see Christ living amongst each other in the small, ordinary ways, occasionally in the big, grand ones, but more often than not, across a campfire, over breakfast, in the face of the person sitting across from us. So I hope you don't have many moments like me. I hope you can see your glasses on your face and your fork in your hand and your cell phone right there. And I hope you encounter Jesus in those same ways. Small little ways that remind us that we are risen, that He is risen, and that life is for the living. My hands, empty hands.
This episode was produced by St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Houston, Texas. Special thanks to our band, led by Cameron Deason-Hammond, and featuring Jeremy Nuncio, Asher Pudlow, and Andrew Gordon. Join us every Sunday for Soulful Sundays at 5 p.m. at St. Mark's, 3816 Bel Air Boulevard in Houston, Texas, or visit us online at stmarks-houston.org.